Dad, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I really do. It's such an honor and a blessing for me to be here. I spent, like he said, the last couple years out of the country doing what we could do in Guatemala to love on people the best that we could. And so it's been a long season of being away from family. Our son was born there. But recently the Lord has called us back to be in this area, to be with family. And so we're super excited for what is coming up the next couple of months as we reconnect here with you guys in the church, in this area, and with our family. As David said, last week he talked about getting out into the community, getting out of this building, coming in to be spiritually just mended and healed and just be poured into by the Lord, but then to go out and to love on the people around us. And so today I want to take some time to focus in and help equip us, you guys, help equip our mindsets, our hearts, our focuses to do that in an effective way. And I'm super excited to talk about that this morning, and then next week we're going to continue on in a similar pattern. But let's pray before we get started. Lord, we just love you this morning, God. We're super excited to be a part of this family. We're super excited, Father, just to be a part of what you're doing in this area. God, we pray that today, Lord, we would just hear from you in such a clear, such a special way, Father, that it would just be a moment, God, where we can just receive what it is that you have for us, for our lives, God, to be used, Father, by you on a daily basis in every part of our lives, God. We dedicate this time to you. We're excited to hear from your word. We love you this morning, God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as David was speaking last week, like he said, I just felt from the Lord that I would just love to piggyback off of that message. You know, I spent the last couple of years doing so, you know, trying my best to love on people and whatnot. And so I feel like I've learned some things along the way. And as he was talking about going out and getting into the community, I started to think about that. And I thought about the reality that that requires our time. It honestly does. It requires time. And I started thinking a lot about the idea of time and the reality that time is probably one of the most valuable resources that we have, is it not? Where you invest your time is what's important to you. What you do with your time is going to influence your life in different areas, different ways. Some people have too much of it. Too much time on their hands, they're sitting around trying to figure out what to do, and some people don't have enough of it. Some people are just packed all day, every day, just trying to find more time to get things done. Time is such a valuable part of our life, and so as I was thinking about it and what that looks like for us when we're out and about, when we're out of this place and we're living in the day-to-day, I started to think about how that affects our lives. Some people are trying to make the most of it, some people are trying to get it back. Time is such an amazing thing. But in the ancient Greek, they have two different words for time. The first one is chronos, which you might sound familiar to you because that's where we get our word chronological, right? So it's the chronological order of time. It's just the linear version. When you think about time, that never begins, never ends. The clock keeps ticking. The days go by. The seconds go by. It makes up the hours, the days, the years, the months of our lives. So that is the first word, is the chronos moment of time. That was the word that they used to describe that. The interesting thing about it is that it references a quantity. So that word, the chronos moment of time, represents a quantity. So it's saying this is how much time. You know, this is how much time you're going to get. This is how much time you're going to have. It is a linear version and a quantity reference to time. The second one is a kairos. Kairos time is completely different. Kairos is used to describe a specific moment along that timeline. So kairos is more of a reference to a quality. It's more of a reference to a moment in time that is speaking about the quality of that moment. I know that in your lives, it wouldn't take too long, honestly, to think about kairos moments in your life. For example, the birth of my first son, Ezra, right? That is a kairos moment. That is a quality moment in time along the timeline that stands out from the mundane and is different than the day in and day out. I bet it wouldn't take you too long when you think about when you saw your wife or your future wife for the first time and you fell in love in the moment. You're like, that is the one, right? Or when you got married, the day of your wedding, when you took that step of faith and you came together in unity. Or maybe you were the first one in your family to go into college and to graduate, and you spent years and years and years investing in a moment, and then you graduate, right? There are moments in time that reference quality. And when you think about it, kairos moments in your life, really what they are is that they are, at the same time, moments. They're special moments, different moments that occur in your life for different reasons. And the same can be said about our spiritual journey. When we look into our spiritual lives and we think about our normal spiritual life, there is moments where it is linear. There's the day in, the day out in our spiritual journey, and we're reading, we're seeking the Lord, we're praying, and you kind of get into that habit. And then there are kairos moments in your spiritual journey as well. There are moments where the Lord just comes in and completely wrecks your life. There's moments and encounters that we have when you first met the Lord, when you first gave your life to the Lord, and he freed you from everything that you had been living in, and he set you free, and there's this beautiful moment where you just fall in love with the Lord. That's a kairos moment in your spiritual journey. And there's a lot of those moments that take place over the years. The longer that you're in ministry, you'll learn that there are specific moments that require a different level of action to fulfill that kairos moment in your life. I remember one time when I was in Costa Rica and I barely knew any Spanish, and I was struggling to connect with the culture and the community, and we were, after a long day of ministry, we came into a church and there was like five people there. Our team of like 15 from the United States, and there was like five local people there, and they were the pastors and the leaders of the church. So I'm just sitting there, I'm like, man, we're tired. They've already heard everything that we could say. Like, we're just gonna sit here and preach to the pastors of the church. And so I kind of went over to the leader of the team, and I said, hey, just kind of shorten your message and just kind of give them like a brief, just a quick like recap, and then we can go home and go to bed and get ready for the next day. And he agreed to that, and as he was preaching, the Lord just began to work in my heart, and he said, Darren, I need you to get up and speak at the end of his message. And I was like, no way. I mean, I really didn't want to do that. I honestly was super tired. I was like, I don't even speak Spanish. Our translator is not even here. I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. And as the service kind of began to wind down, I just felt more and more in my heart that it's time to take this step. And so after he closed, I went up and I just started speaking as much as I could in Spanish, every word that I knew. And I just experienced a moment in time that I'll never forget, where the Holy Spirit fell into that building like a flood and overwhelmed every single person. And we spent the next hour just in worship and prayer on the floor, just seeking God with all of our hearts. And it was such a special divine moment in my life that I'll never forget. And I know that you have experienced the same, those moments when you fall in love with the Lord. But that's what they are. They're moments. They're moments in the linear version of time that take place. They're moments where something different happens that's outside of the normal. And so I want to share a story with you guys as well about a moment in a different missions trip. It was in Guatemala. And as we were preparing for the missions trip, before we went, there was a gentleman in the church, and his name was Sketch, or Philip. He went by Sketch, that's how we knew him, and he was an atheist. He did not believe in the Lord, he believed against the Lord, he was an atheist. There was no part of him that loved the Lord, there was no part of him that wanted to be involved in the church. He was completely against everything that we stood for and that we were doing on the missions trip. So we were kind of confused as to why he wanted to come along, but then he shared with us that he is a photographer. So he just wanted to come and take photos. And if you've been in ministry in any way, you know that photos are super valuable. You know, you can't get enough of him. It helps share the story to people that are supporting you and whatnot. And so at the end of the day, we were like, sure, you can come as long as you share your photos with us so that we can use them. And so he decided to come, and he was a part of that missions trip. And the whole week, he's just taking photos. He's just taking photos of the scenery, the culture, what we were doing. And during that week, as he was editing those photos, as he was going through and deleting some and looking at some and just siphoning through them, something began to change in his heart as he's looking at these photos of what? These moments. These kairos moments where people were getting impacted by the Lord. We were building House for Widows. We're loving on disabled orphans. As we were living out that calling and we were doing what we were designed to do, and he was watching these moments in all of his photos, it changed something in him. And at the end of that week, he came to us and he said, I need to give my life to the Lord. He said, watching you guys do what you do and taking these photos of these moments, I need to give my life to this because this is different, this is special, and I want to be a part of that. There are moments in our lives, but at the same time, there are opportunities. So we're going on a journey here. We have an idea of time, different moments in time, moments which are, at the end of the day, opportunities. There are opportunities for you to what? To make a choice. There are opportunities in which you are going to make a decision that is going to completely guide which way your life is going to go, are they not? Every single day, you make 35,000 decisions every day. I made 7,000 decisions just coming to church this morning. 35,000 decisions every single day, and all of those decisions are going to guide and dictate where you go in life. I could have decided not to come today, and that would have changed my day. It would have changed my life, honestly. It would have changed different things about it. They're decisions that we have the ability to make in every single moment. And I know it sounds like a lot, right? I mean, you're thinking about every single second of every single day, every decision that I make, every moment of life. Like, that's a lot to honestly think about. And as we were talking about it, and as I was thinking about going out in the community and being part of that, and what we are called to do with those opportunities that the Lord has given you. The reality is that we don't deserve any of these moments or opportunities. You know, we don't deserve that, but the Lord in his graciousness and his goodness and his love for us has given us opportunities and moments for specific reasons. It's not just to be here, it's not just to exist, it's not just to pass the day and go by. There are specific reasons and callings that we have as people. So if I were to ask you, like, and I want to be a little interactive here, I want you guys to talk with me, what are you called to do? What are we called to do? What are some of our callings? What would you say to me? To love people, to worship, to give. Callings as Christians, as people that love the Lord, what are we designed, created to do? Those are all amazing things, and they're all a part of what we're called to do. Some of the quick scriptures, Matthew 28:19 says, go and make disciples of all the nations, right? I know that we've heard that before. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And then in Acts 1, verse 8, it says, the Holy Spirit will guide you as you witness to what the Lord has done. The Holy Spirit will guide you as you witness to what the Lord has done. You are called to share the gospel of Christ and to love one another to the ends of the earth. To go and get out, as David said, but to go and evangelize. You, at the end of the day, have been given something extremely valuable. And it is our calling, it is our job, it is our duty to go out and share that with the world around us, to evangelize and share the gospel of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Father. That's our job. And so I want to share a video with you guys, and then we're going to go a little bit deeper into what that means and some very practical ways in which we can do that on a daily basis. Let's watch that video, and then we'll go from there.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Those are Kairos moments. They're moments that change history. They're moments that change your life forever. They're moments that change the lives of people, other people, forever. There are moments where you share something that the Lord has given you with somebody else who doesn't know what it is. Somebody who maybe is angry at the Lord, who is completely against him, somebody who doesn't believe in him, but you have been given something to share with everybody around us. And these are Kairos moments that take place in life. And today I want to talk about how to take advantage of those moments, because those are moments in life that happen along the chronological timeline of life. And it's very easy to miss what could be a Kairos moment that changes not only your life, but many lives. There have been moments, I know, in honesty, where the Lord has asked me to do something, and I have, because of fear, because of doubt, because of anxiety, or just I'm not good enough, or whatever it is, I said no, and I missed a moment where the Lord wanted to do something in and through me, and who knows how many people that could have impacted. So this morning I want to talk about how you and I, every single day, can take advantage of the chronological order of time in our lives to turn normal opportunities into Kairos moments for you and for the people around us. It's so easy to go into a coffee shop, order my coffee, and walk out, right? I've been there. I was in Guatemala, and I went into this coffee shop, and I ordered my coffee, and I'm sitting there while he's making it, and I'm thought to myself in a moment where the Lord said, you need to talk to this guy. I sat there and I'm like, man, do I? Like, I'm in a rush. I really have to go. And he said, no, introduce yourself to him. And so I decided to take a step out of my comfort zone. And if you're an introverted person naturally, I know that this is a lot harder. I have always been more of an introverted, reserved person. And so stepping out sometimes and going out of my comfort zone and connecting with people has been challenging for me at times. But I introduced myself to him, and I connected with him. And now he's one of my best friends in Guatemala. And he took our missions team on coffee tours. He's all about coffee, and so we connected really well. And that relationship with him is still building. And every day, every other day, he writes me, I miss you, where are you at? But what does it take for you and I to look into the normal, mundane, in-and-out daily life and think about how we could transform normal opportunities, normal moments, into Kairos moments for us? And so as I was thinking about that and I was looking into the Bible, and really the Bible is just a collection of Kairos moments. The Bible is just a collection of these moments where the Lord did something that transformed history, lives on such a deep level, and we get the joy of just sitting there and reading about all of these moments. The Bible doesn't necessarily tell us about all of the linear moments in time. If you've watched the series The Chosen, which you should definitely watch The Chosen, you'll see that it shows us a little bit more about the linear version of time that the Lord is on, that he had to eat, that he had to sleep, that he did go to bed, those types of things that the Bible doesn't necessarily mention. And as I was looking at those moments, and I began to think about all of the different special, specific moments in time that required a different level of action, and I wanted to talk about a few of them, and next week we will dive into one specific moment that took place in the Bible, we will. But today, as I was thinking about it, and I wanted to challenge you guys for this coming week, I started to think about all of these moments, and I couldn't pick one to talk about today. And as I was thinking about it, I started looking at the life of Jesus, the example that we have in the first place that we ought to live like, to be Christ-like. I started looking at his life for an idea, a roadmap, a strategy for evangelism. And today I want to talk about some very practical things that we can take from the life itself of Jesus to help us every single day live more like an evangelist. And I know that that's kind of intimidating, that's scary. Who, me? I can't do that. I'm super introverted maybe, or I'm just not comfortable. But that is our calling. That is your calling. Our calling is to take part in that. And so when we look at Jesus and we look at the four people who wrote about his life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we go through those, we can find that there's over 40 meetings between Jesus and various individuals along the linear version of time. In nine of those situations, Jesus initiated conversations. So out of the 40 plus, it is clear in the Bible that nine of those moments were times where Jesus initiated the conversation. For example, the Samaritan woman at the well in John, the crippled beggar in John 5:1, and there's seven other of these moments where Jesus initiated conversation. In 25 of those instances, it was the other party who started the discussion, and Jesus responded to other people's inquiries. For example, the rich young ruler in Matthew, the synagogue ruler in Mark 5, the hemorrhaging woman in Mark 5. They're moments where somebody else, the other person, took the step of faith and reached out to Jesus, and they started that conversation. In other conversations, they were triggered by third parties, right? So somebody, one of the jailers would bring the prisoner to Jesus. Nathanael was invited by Philip to go in John 1:45. The adulterous woman was brought by the scribes. And so those are moments where somebody else, a third party, brought or introduced somebody to Jesus. And so that's the first thing I think about is who started the conversation. The second one is, where did the conversation take place? Where did these moments in the Bible, these kairos moments, take place? And you can see that the majority, when you read those, you can see that the majority of interactions occurred in the workplace. The majority of those moments occurred in the workplace. When Jesus was walking along the riverbank and the disciples are there, they were working. That's what they were doing. They were working, they were mending their nets, they were getting ready to go fishing, that type of stuff. So you'll notice that with James and John and Matthew and the Samaritan woman, even as she's drawing water from the well, or the lame man as he was seeking help, you'll see that those are moments that took place in the workplace. You'll also notice that many of those take place in homes. Many of those take place in people's homes. In Mark 1, you'll see that at Peter's house, he was with his mother-in-law. You will see, that he was at Zacchaeus' house in Luke 19. And you'll notice, after reading through all those 40 encounters, that few of them actually took place in a religious setting where he had control over the environment or he was speaking to a congregation of people. You'll notice that actually few of those situations took place in there. And that's why David said last week, like, you come in to receive from the Lord, but you got to go out. You have to go out, right? And you'll see that is following the example of Christ as well. When you also look at those moments, you'll talk about what has been discussed. Jesus asked questions in more than half of the conversations that he had. You'll notice that theme as you watch The Chosen even, or as you study the Bible, that Jesus asked a lot of questions. He asked. He just sat there and he listened and he asked. And there's various examples of that. He connected with people's thoughts and feelings. He understood that new ideas need to be connected with existing frames of reference. Right? He knew that if I'm going to present a new idea to somebody, I have to connect it with the frame of reference that they'll understand, that they can process on their own, that they can think through, that they can just simmer on and work over in their mind. So at the end of the day, there's things that we can learn from Jesus, and I'm going to list off a few of them. So if you're taking notes, this is a good time to do that. What can we learn from the example of Jesus and take away? And this is what I want to challenge us with this week. This is what I want to challenge us this week. How can we take advantage of the normal in and out of our lives and turn moments that could just be nothing into kairos moments where your life is impacted and the people around you are impacted? The first one is that Jesus knew how to take initiative. He knew how to take initiative. There was moments in time where he stepped out of his comfort zone, where he kind of stepped out of the normal. I'm just going to go buy groceries. I'm just going to get gas. I'm just going to go to work. He stepped out of those moments and he took initiative with the people around him. The second is that Jesus responded to the initiatives of others, right? He responded to the initiatives of others. So when somebody else reached out to him, he was ready and willing to listen and to ask questions in that moment. The third one is that Jesus left room, and this is a big one, Jesus left room in his schedule for interruptions by friends and others enlisting his help. I know that some of us have a very tight, very specific schedule. My wife likes things in order, on a schedule, this is what's going to happen, and I'm the opposite. I'm like, whatever happens, happens. And so you can imagine we've had our moments in our marriage about those specific things. But he left room in his schedule. He allowed himself to be interrupted by the people around him. There's moments where he was going to go do something. He had a plan. He had a purpose. But when something came up that maybe altered his schedule, he didn't say, no, I can't do that. I'm busy. You'll notice that every time Jesus said, what do you need? How can I help you? He paused his life to receive the initiative that other people were taking around him. Jesus usually met people in their own space, right? He didn't call people in a lot of the time. You'll notice that Jesus was out and about in the community, walking between different areas along the road, meeting people. He met people in their own space, maybe where they felt comfortable. And for example, that means out, right? You're not going to meet necessarily people in here as much as you're going to meet people out in the community, in the grocery store, in the normal in and outs of life, in a space that they're comfortable with and connect with them on that level. Jesus was interested in establishing common ground with others. He connected. He had this ability to connect with anybody at any time because he left room in his schedule, because he wasn't afraid to get interrupted, because he was willing to just sit and listen and ask questions. See, witnessing to people is an art. It's a strategy. It is. On a lot of levels, it can be a strategy. As we look at the life of Jesus, yes, the Holy Spirit in any moment can give you the words to say and can direct you and guide you and lead you, and we do live that way. But we can also apply very practical, strategic things to our lifestyle to be more evangelistic, to witness. It's an art. It's a mystery. It involves connecting your faith with people's experience in a way that they can understand it, right? So you're not just preaching this super spiritual thing that somebody that's never heard anything about Jesus will understand. You connect on a level that they'll be able to understand and receive it. It means cooperating with God's Spirit and doing with God's Spirit may be doing around you and being okay to just, yes, Lord, I'm here, I'm ready, and I'm willing. This is what we're called to do. This is what I want to talk about today, equipping ourselves to take advantage of the opportunities and the moments in our lives to connect with our communities, right? I know that thinking about evangelism, thinking about going out in the community, thinking about all day, every day decisions that we make is intimidating, but the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. In Acts 1, verse 8, when we read it, it says that. He says he's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you words to say. He's going to be there for you when you need him. But how do we take advantage and create a strategy to be more evangelistic in an everyday lifestyle? And so those are some of the practical things I want to talk about today. Next week, we're going to dive into a specific Kairos moment in the Bible and really pull some stuff out. And really dive in deep. And so I'm excited to share that with you. Please don't miss it. Please be here, as this is kind of like a short mini-series, and they're both super connected. Like I said, I was going to preach all these together, but I didn't want to overwhelm you guys today because I know it's already been 30 minutes, and we would have been here for another hour and a half if I had done that. But I want to challenge us this week, specifically challenge you to think about the reality that your timeline, your schedule, just the in and the out, is made up of moments that are opportunities for you to make decisions that will completely alter your life and the life of people around you, and that there are special strategic ways in which we can do that, to connect with people, to love on people. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. He came into their space where they felt comfortable, and he loved on them. He came in, and he was not afraid to get interrupted in his schedule. He was not afraid for his life to change. I know that change is super hard for a lot of people. I know that things shifting, things changing is incredibly difficult a lot of the time. We like to have a plan, and it's good to have structure and have a plan. But we also got to take the example of Jesus and be okay in moments to just say, okay, I'm going to pause the plans that I had. I'm just going to hold off on those, because Jesus had a divine encounter, a divine moment ready and waiting for me to be a part of. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to use you, your life, to be a facilitator of those divine encounters and those divine moments. There's a reason why he talks so much in the Bible about removing fear, removing doubt, removing anxiousness, removing these things from our lives. He wants to remove those so that we can be ready in the every single day, all day, every day, we can be ready to take advantage of those unique and special moments that he's going to do in and through our lives. So I hope that this morning that encourages you, and I am super excited for next week to be able to hear from you. If you have a moment this week where the Holy Spirit leads you to do something and something interrupts your schedule and you use that to create a Kairos moment, I want to know about it. I want you to call me. I want to know about it, and if it works out, I want you to get up here and tell everybody else about it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? So this moment, I want you all day, every day to think about it, to process it. And I know it's a lot because we're super busy all the time. But think about the reality that the Lord puts things in your life, opportunities for you to make a decision that's going to completely change everything. And so this week, I want us to be people that focus in on that and think about, Lord, how can I this week think about you, love you, connect with you all day, every day to take advantage of the reality that every single day that you give me is a gift. Every day that I get is a gift that I have to do something for him, to do something for you. Every single day, every single opportunity, how can we implement specific strategy into our everyday life to be able to love on someone? That's what I wanted to share this morning. Like I said, next week we're going to be diving into a specific moment, but I just want to take some time and I want to pray over us as we sit and process that reality of like, man, every moment is an opportunity. And what am I doing with the opportunities that the Lord has given me? That's a big question. That's a big question. What am I doing with every opportunity that the Lord has given me? Am I using it to advance his kingdom? Am I using it to share the gospel with somebody? Or am I just missing opportunities because I'm afraid, because I'm worried about what's going to happen, because they're too busy, because I'm too busy, because I'm keeping to my schedule? Like, what are the things that are keeping us from taking advantage of normal moments in our timeline that could become Kairos moments, just like the video we watched? Simple moments where we did something, maybe we didn't even know about it, but we said something. There were witnesses around us. It says, run the race, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and there's a cloud of witnesses around us. The word says that. And so as you live your day, as you live your life, as you make decisions, Jesus decisions, people around you are going to see that. People around you are going to see the moments that you decide to stand in faith instead of fear. People around you are going to see those moments as if they're taking photos of your life. Just like Sketch did on that trip, you just took photos. People are going to witness the decisions that you make in every moment of your life, whether you know it or not. And they're going to sit back at the end of the day and look at those photos, and it's going to lead them one way or the other. They're going to look at that moment and be like, man, they did the same thing I did, and so it's no need to pay attention to that. They made the same decision I did in fear, in doubt, in anger. And so it's the same that I have. There's nothing special about that. Or they're going to look at the photos of your life and they're going to say, man, what is going on here? How could he make that decision? By all means, he should have been completely terrified. It didn't make sense. The finances didn't line up. There was no physical way for him to stand in peace in that moment and choose Jesus, but he did. How can I learn from that? How can I grow from that? And people are going to look at your life as we make decisions based off of the word, as we make decisions that Jesus would have made in these moments, and we interact with people, we love on people, and people will be witnessed by that. People will look at that and say, I need what that person has. And so this week, I want to challenge you to think about that, to process that, to work on that, to say, Lord, how can I live a lifestyle that if somebody photographed every decision I made, how would it impact their life? Somebody watched every decision I made, where would they end up? Would it be a lifestyle that brings glory to you? Would it be a lifestyle that honors you? Would it be a lifestyle that somebody's going to sit back and be, man, they have something special? And the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in every opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you this morning, God. We love you, Father. God, we know that you have given us opportunities, that you have divine encounters, divine interventions, just ready and waiting, Father, for us to say yes. Ready and waiting, God, for us to make a decision based on faith. Make a decision, Father, based on the strength that you provide. Make a decision, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is guiding us, leading us to make, Father. Lord, we don't want to be people that miss Kairos moments because of how that could impact the lives around us. We don't want to miss those, Father. We want to be involved in those. We want to stand, God, looking at your example, Jesus, looking at the example that you've set for us to walk every single day, all day, Father, in that way, knowing, Jesus, that you have called us to be people that love. You have called us to be people that connect. You have called us, Father, to be people, God, that set the example, Father, different, separated from the world. Lord, we ask this week that you would put divine interactions, divine encounters in our journeys. Lord, I ask that right now, every single person listening, that this week you would put a moment, a Kairos moment in front of them. that you would put a moment in front of them, whether it's obvious or not, whether it's just a moment, God, that you blow out of the water, or it's a moment that we don't even realize is happening, God, I pray, Father, that you put those moments in place, God. That you put those moments in place and you teach us, Lord, what it means to take advantage of those times. God, we're looking forward to the testimonies that are going to come out of this week. The testimonies, Father, we're going to hear from somebody. I didn't just give into my schedule. I created time. I listened. I asked questions. I was comfortable. And look at what happened. Look at what you did. Look at what you did in their lives, God. So, Lord, we just take the step of faith today and we realize, Father, that every opportunity, every moment that we have is a gift from you. It's a gift and opportunity, Father, to make a difference in the world, to find somebody that's lost, to bring them home. Lord, we are so excited. You are moving always around us. Every moment, God, you are moving. And it's our decision to be a part of that or not. It's our decision to be a part of what you're doing in Cedar Park and Round Rock and Georgetown and Leander, God. It is our decision to be a part of the movement, Father, that you are creating in this place. So I pray, God, that every day we would stand in faith and not in fear. Every day we would stand strong on the promises of God, knowing that you have my back, knowing that you have called me to do this, knowing that you have equipped us to do this, that every single day, Father, my life would be an example of you. Lord, I pray that this week every person here would be an example to everybody around us, to all the witnesses that are watching, that we would be an example, a reflection of how you lived and how you call us to live every day. Lord, we are excited to hear the testimonies, the stories that are going to come out of this, Father. We're ready, we're here, we're waiting to be used by you. Equip us, Father, every day. Renew our minds, God. Every morning, give us the strength, Lord, to endure, to run the race, God, to make you proud. Yes, we love you this morning. Yes, God. In those divine encounters, in those divine moments that are going to come up, lean into the Holy Spirit. Trust that he will guide you. Trust that he will lead you. Trust that when you step out of the boat in faith, that you will walk on the water. Don't be afraid of the moments in life. Don't be afraid of the situations in life that come up. Realize that the Lord put that in your path because he trusts you to handle it. The Lord placed that moment ahead of you because he knows that you will be a good steward of it. He trusts you with his word, with his heart, with the gift of who he is, with the gift of himself. He trusts you with it. And he puts things along the path. He puts things in front of you because he knows that you are able, that you have been equipped. It doesn't take somebody special. It's not only the pastors or the missionaries or the evangelists that travel across the world. It is my responsibility every single day to be a reflection of Jesus, and he trusts you to do that. That's why we have moments. That's why we have opportunities. That's why I get to live tomorrow, is because I have a calling on my life. Take advantage of the opportunities. Take advantage of the moments. Trust. Step out of the boat even when you're not comfortable and say, man, I know somebody. I know somebody who has the answer to that question. I'm listening to where you're at and I know the answer. I know somebody who loves you so deeply, who cares for you so much that he gave his life for you. You have been called to do this. You have been equipped to do this. Let's go out and do this. God, we love you. We thank you. We're so excited, Father, to hear from you this week. We rest in you, Jesus. We know that you have called us, Father, and that is the peace that we need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we dedicate this week to you. We're excited to hear the testimonies. In the name of Jesus, we all said, amen. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you for the opportunity.